having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. And turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Jesus came to turn us from our iniquities. That's what the grace of God teaches us. That we should set aside the filthiness of the flesh. And I don't mean you get a little earth on your hands. Or you sweat a bit. That's not the kind of filthiness we're talking about, right? We understand each other. We should all know what filthiness means. And I don't mean just in the sense of people think of pornographic filth, though that is certainly included. I mean things like, literally the word means like a stain, any kind of spot. Any type of spot on your character or blot against you. Moral failings, black marks. And people say, well, it's impossible to be perfect. Well, then it's impossible to be saved. It's impossible to live forever, too. Can you live forever? I've never met a man or heard of a man who's lived forever because none of us have seen forever. Well, everyone I've ever heard of in the world dies. Except I heard a man named Jesus, called Christ, who rose from the dead. But the rest die. I get so motivated against those who say with their mouths yea and nay, you can be out, you know, in Christ you can have blue 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 blue, oh you can have wealth, oh you can have prosperity, you can have a happy marriage, you can have this, you can have that, you can, yeah, you can escape from homosexuality. Oh, yes, you can. It's a choice. Oh, but you can't be perfect. If you can't be perfect, why not just do all those things? What's the point? Well, some things are less perfect than others. So the nice thing is these churches, they have the certain sins, they cherry pick the ones that aren't affecting them. Or they seem not to be affecting them. Or they seem to be the most grievous. You know, and then they want to tell everyone else how they have to behave. And I don't mean everyone else in the church. They want to tell everyone outside the church how they have to behave. And they themselves are the servants of corruption. And admittedly, they'll say, oh, we'll never be perfect. We're not perfect. But you got to draw a line somewhere. God draws a line. A very rigid, straight line. And we are to veer neither to the right hand, nor to the left. Nor to the right. But straight on. There is a rigorous standard which God upholds. It is perfection. That is where we are going. And it is not profitable to sit around with your hands folded waiting for it to come. They say, well, when Jesus comes, I'll be perfect. Yeah, and I don't want to make it meaning, I don't want him to come and find me really far away from that. Where he comes and I'm bathing in iniquity. And everyone else is so far along in their walk that they're almost there. And they just need him to come and then they could be completely perfect. In every way. You know, I don't expect to be completely perfect in every way. But I know I can perfect holiness because it says I can. Why would Paul tell me to do something that was absolutely impossible? To perfect holiness. Holiness refers to the sort of the sense of separateness and specialness that we have in Christ. Be different. Come out from among them. Be a son of God or a daughter. But you know, if you're a daughter in the earth, that sometimes is afforded a second-class status. That's why in the New Testament, usually, there's a quote back from the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it just merely speaks of us as being sons. Because in Christ, there is neither male nor female. When you get there, when we all get there, we aren't going to be men and women anymore. We're all going to be equally His sons. And that isn't, you know, and the thing is, they asked in the kingdom of heaven, who marries who, and whose wife, and whose husband? And He says, it's not like that at all. In the kingdom of heaven, they're like the angels. They don't marry or give in marriage. So when I say sons, it doesn't, you know, I wouldn't say daughters merely because the scriptures say sons. I'm trying to be even-handed here. But the reason I say sons is because it has a particular, in the world, it has a particular connotation of favor and of importance. Men always want sons to carry on. A daughter means something else in the human experience. That's why in the language it is better to say a son. Okay, so verse 2 says, receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. I'll continue with verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. You know, to receive here means literally to give space.